This is a podcast from WOR.
The Joan Hamburg Show.
What about instead of doing birthday cakes, you just do globs of icing with a candle? I like it.
The Tri-State Source.
Remember when we used to eat chocolate frosteds, vanilla milkshakes? You still can.
Today, focus on food. From cooking techniques to delicious new recipes. From the best new places to eat to the hottest new food products on your grocer's shelves. Joan will satisfy every appetite with reports and tips from some of the top names in the world of food. Now, what can Joan do for you today?
Welcome, everyone, to News Talk Radio 710 WOR. I met Tori Avila months ago, and Tori has a website. She is the Shiksa in the Kitchen, or a convert to Judaism. And when we started reading her blog, it was really terrific because it wasn't only about recipes in the kitchen, although we love that. She was exploring the history of Jewish food. She has another website called The History Kitchen, which deals with food history and anthropological culinary topics. Tori always wanted to know what the other story is, the story behind what we eat, and the way culture through food has really inspired so many people. So you're having a great time, Tori. Welcome. Happy Hanukkah to you.
Oh, happy Hanukkah to you. Chag Sameach.
Yeah. So tell me, and those people who may not have met you here in the past will love to hear your story. Like, how did you become the Shiksa in the kitchen?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, I started cooking when I was young, and it had always been a hobby of mine. But when I started learning about Jewish culture and Jewish traditions, I started getting very involved in it in college, and I felt very drawn to it. And I started exploring the food, and I just loved the flavors. There were so many unique. I mean, I had never tasted a latke before college, if you can believe it.
No, I can believe it, though. You'd be surprised how many people never thought of that, you know, a potato pancake.
And it's one of life's great pleasures.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Delicious.
And that's part of what I'm doing, is trying to spread this food to a wider audience, because there are so many treasures in the Jewish food tradition that people just don't, you know about. So I'm really trying to broaden that and get into that a little bit more. But anyway, yeah, I started getting into the Jewish food, and then I met my husband, who is now my husband, and he was born in Israel. So that opened up a whole other side of the food.
Yeah, it's very different. It's a Mediterranean cuisine.
Yeah, very, very Middle Eastern, very healthy, and awesome flavors, spices, and things that I just had never, you know, known before. So I became obsessed, and I just started cooking all the time and started the website, and it took off like wildfire. People really started to connect to it.
So. Lucky guy. Now, he was here, of course, in America. Is his family in Israel or here?
Yes, some are in Israel and some are here.
So,
but yeah, we visit Israel frequently. We love going there.
So your mother-in-law must be thrilled with you.
Actually, sadly, my mother-in-law has passed away.
Oh, no.
She passed away. I never got a chance to actually know her.
That's so sad.
Yeah, but you know what? I feel like I know her when I make these dishes, because I've been taught by other family members, obviously, a lot of our family traditions. And so it's really neat, because I'm able to kind of taste the flavors that she was cooking for my husband. When he says it tastes just like my mom made,
that's
the best feeling in the
a
world.
A great compliment. Well, I know that for Hanukkah, and I always say to people in our audience, you do not have to be Jewish to try some of these amazing foods. And Hanukkah, of course, people fry things because that's really the way it was, right? The Festival of Lights.
That's right, yeah. Hanukkah is an eight-day holiday celebration, and it's actually commemorating the rededication of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem following the Jewish victory over the Syrian Greeks, and that was back in the 2nd century BCE, so it's quite a while ago.
That's for sure. And then I'm sure you do potato pancakes too, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love latkes. Are you kidding? Well, the whole oil tradition comes from this, you know, the menorah oil and this miracle. So we fry everything. And this year I've got an awesome potato latke recipe. I kind of changed my traditional take on it, and I started using panko breadcrumbs, the Japanese breadcrumbs.
Now, and I keep them in my house all the time, but explain what you're doing. Will you put them instead of flour in the batter?
Yeah, you know, most people use either flour or matzo meal
for
potato pancakes, and I just switched it up, and I switched put panko into it, and I found that it gave it a really light, fluffy texture in the middle, and so crispy on the outside and golden. They're just mouthwatering.
So you use, like, baking potatoes, Idaho potatoes, and do you grate them by hand, or you do them in a Cuisinart?
Oh, I do them in the Cuisinart. I can't sit there. I mean, I know some people say they taste different when you grate them behind, but I don't notice a difference.
All right, so you do that. You add eggs, and you add panko, very light, breadcrumbs.
Yeah, and one of the keys is when I'm shredding the potatoes, I use the fine shred. You know, there's different textures. I find that the fine shred holds together better.
Sometimes. Right, not as much water comes out.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mix it with panko and the onion, obviously, and some salt and pepper. Keep it pretty simple, and just fry those up. And I like to use grapeseed oil. That's my favorite oil for frying.
You know what? You told me about that last time. I should really try that.
Yeah.
What is it? It doesn't have a taste, right?
No, and it's got a very high smoke point, so you don't have to worry about, you know,
setting off the alarms.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, and it, you know, doesn't smell up the house quite as much as, you know, the other oils might. And it also, it's very healthy. I think it's no cholesterol. I'm not a nutritionist, but it's very, very healthy in terms of a frying oil.
I'm going to buy that. But I noticed that this year, too, and I don't know if you're going to make them now, but you were talking about bimuelos, which are like fried dough fritters.
Yeah, they're fritters. That's another one of these Jewish dishes that a lot of people...
I never had that before, ever. Yeah. Is it Sephardic?
It is. It's Sephardic. It stems from Spain, and it's Spanish in origin. And it's, they're fritters. And funny enough, in my family, which I've never come across this before, they're called levivot, which is the Hebrew word for latkes. But for some reason, my family refers to any little fried treat as levivot.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. And this year, I kind of changed it up. Basically, bimuelos, the way they're normally made, have a warm honey syrup. And my family uses a warm sugar syrup with rose water or orange blossom water. I also have a variation on my website where I sprinkle them with powdered sugar and I use a warm chocolate sauce. And that is just death.
Kids must go crazy, right?
Oh, yeah. They love it. They're almost like beignets. You know beignets?
Yeah, I love beignets from New Orleans. The best. Melt in your mouth.
Oh, totally. They're awesome.
So do you sit and do a Hanukkah dinner, or people just come by and you do potato pancakes and this Jewish form of beignets, bimuelos?
Yeah. We you know what? We keep it mostly casual. We usually have a nice dinner on the first night and the last night. And then the other nights, you know, we have friends or family dropping by to say hi. And I'm not against everybody just, you know, gathering around the frying pan in the kitchen, you know, and just eating them as they come out. We're very casual. I mean, it's a fun holiday, and it's a neat tradition.
And you do applesauce or...
I like applesauce and I like sour cream. I'm more partial to sour cream myself. What are you? Do you like the applesauce?
You know what? I make a lot of applesauce. I love it. I live near an apple farm. And
lucky you.
You know what? And they sell these huge mixed bags. So I make it all the time. My husband loves sour cream with the potato pancakes. But I wish you a very happy Hanukkah. Tori Avery, go on to her website. She has a new one, thehistorykitchen.com. And your other website, Tori? Perfect. All the best to you. We look forward to talking to you again. I'm Joan Hamburg. You're listening to News Talk Radio 710 WOR, 15 minutes after 1 o'clock. And I have been telling you about Corrado's. Many of you know it. It's a name always associated with great baskets, gift baskets. They've been in this business for 60 years. But these are not just baskets. They are special. They go out of their way. For example, if you want a fruit basket, this is not your boring grapefruit orange basket. Not that there's anything wrong with it, that kind of basket, but this is beautiful fruit looking like impressionistic paintings. And in the center of this, I got a Christmas cactus. I adore them. It is bursting with bloom. We were like, what a great basket. And they have yummy fruit nut baskets, delicious big cashews, and all kinds of good things. So if you need whatever, thank you, corporate, business, friends, family, I'm telling you, this is the best. And they'll ship free. That's where everyone gets stuck. They'll ship free via FedEx Ground Service. But call right away, 1-800-232-6758. 1-800-232-6758. They'll customize. They'll do whatever you want. Go to CorradosGiftBaskets.com. CORRADOS giftbaskets.com today. They really believe it is the gift that counts. 1-800-232-6758. Corrados, CORRADOS giftbaskets.com. And tomorrow night is the first night of Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights. And how could we have any Jewish holiday without checking in to see what the amazing Joan Nathan, who in her spare time has knocked off at least 10 cookbooks, quiches, kugels, and couscous. Her search for Jewish cooking in France actually was named one of the 10 best cookbooks of 2010 by Food and Wine, Bon Appetit. Joan is always writing in the New York Times, Food Arts, and other things. The Bible, Jewish Cooking in America, is in almost every family's bookshelf. And I know, Joan, are you doing a big deal tomorrow night?
No, actually, we're going to Friends.
Yes.
And there, we all have to bring something, and I have to bring sufganiyot, so I'm going to...
Wait, what are you bringing?
Jelly donuts.
Aha! That you're making or buying?
I'm going to make them.
What a foolish question I asked you. Of course you're going to make them.
How could I buy them?
You could.
That'll ruin my reputation.
But no one would know. It's like Arlene Francis, you know, who some people probably don't even remember today, but she used to wear a fake rhinestone necklace, and she would say to me, darling, everyone, because I'm wearing it, thinks it's a diamond.
You know what? I think that's a great idea. I might just buy some.
Well, do it. Make life easy for yourself and put them in one of your beautiful things. So everyone brings something, and the main course is probably the hostess.
Right. I think. I don't know. I'm assuming, unless she's doing the potato pancakes, which are, you know, very laborious. But I'm doing people coming over Tuesday night. And actually, we're going to India and Sri Lanka on Thursday.
Oh, how fabulous.
On Tuesday, I'm having some people from Sri Lanka for dinner. And I'm going to have, they don't even know what Hanukkah is. Mm. So I'm going to make Hanukkah for them and some of our friends, and making, my brisket. And apples, I just made the cranberry applesauce.
Mm.
And I did freeze the latkes because, you know, I'm going away and I need to be.
Right. You have need time, and that's a very big trip. Is
right.
it a business trip or pleasure?
No, I'm taking my whole family.
Oh, you're kidding.
My three kids, my husband and I.
Wait, is it a birthday?
It's a birthday. We're going to India and Sri Lanka. It'll be fun.
Wow. Are you taking the kids, too?
Well, you know, they're 27, right. 30, and 34. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Oh, what a great time. And knowing you, you'll come back with a new book.
Well, maybe. We'll see.
You never know.
You never know.
Well, I'm excited for
it's
you.
My kid said it's like Jews in weird places. You
yeah,
know?
That's exactly right. You know, I love that. One day we went on a big hiking trip, and a friend of ours who is, you know, observant, and we decided he brought 90 pairs of shoes for this trip, so we came up with Jews Outdoors, you know, where this guy, it was a riot. It's going to be like you guys in India or Sri Lanka. I can't wait to hear. I wish you the happiest of holidays.
We always have to
check in, and we'll talk to you when you get back.
Great.
Joan,
happy Hanukkah.
To you, too. Joan Nathan, Hanukkah tomorrow night. One of the great cooks. You often read her in the New York Times, Quiches, Kugels, and Couscous, her latest book. And then we're going to, guess what? The Fairway Boys are here. I hear Mitchell's voice already. I mean, Mitchell is amazing. He had orthopedic surgery, and he went right back to work. He is bopping around all over the place. So you've got a lot. You can make potato pancakes tomorrow. You can do what Joe Nathan did. That's really the truth. You know, a lot of people just do them right in the Cuisinart. Throw the potatoes, throw four big Idahos, two eggs, and our former guest, Tori Avey, used panko, but I use a little flour just to hold it, salt, pepper, and I don't do anything exotic. I put them in a pan, and some people use grapeseed oil. I do not use olive oil. I use a mixture of canola oil, sometimes a little butter. Fry them, and a lot of people like to stay in the kitchen just eating them out of the pan, but we love potato pancakes. I would put them in the freezer so you don't have a lot of work to do if you're not serving them immediately, and just take them out and heat in a really hot oven. Perfect. Applesauce, easy to make. I have an applesauce maker. Nothing. I just do the apples with the skin on in a big heavy pot with a little tiny bit of water, a cinnamon stick, a little grated lemon rind, practically no sugar at all because I use Max and McCoon's and they're sweet. And I have the most delicious applesauce. Let's take a break because we're going to meet a guy who's got a business called New York Mouth. I know you're going to want to hear about it. Stay tuned. Food. Why not food? But what's interesting, when a business guy, an entrepreneur, an executive changes his life and now runs one of the major food marketplace companies in the country. I'm talking about Craig Kanarick, and Craig is CEO of New York Mouth. And I'm going to let Craig explain to you what this is. Craig's done a lot of stuff. He's run a lot of companies. But he decided to go into the food business so that if you are looking for a gift or for yourself and you want the most unique, the best, all you do is call Craig and his company. And he's going to get you the most unusual, the most unique from anywhere. Now, what made you decide to do food after all you've been doing?
Well, Joan, I've been a fan of food.
Who isn't? Why not?
Right? For a long time. And I've always been sort of interested in the food business and in the food industry. And about 3 years ago, I worked with an entrepreneurial program in New York and was talking to a lot of people in the world of food and noticed there was a huge new overlap between the startup world and the food world. So I thought I would bring those together with some website technology, and we created what we think is the first online indie food store in the country.
And, for example, you brought me a big array of things that you might not think about, and you can order online, right? Or just browse through the site, and you're going to want everything. Bacon popcorn, your number one bestseller.
Our number one bestseller for the holiday season right now is this bacon caramel corn.
Delicious.
Made by Ronnie Sue Chocolates on the Lower East Side of New York. And it's a wonderful combination of popcorn and peanuts and bacon.
And then you brought me a gluten-free, it looks like a Girl Scout cookie.
It is. It's a thin mint. Here, you can try one.
I have to show Natalie, who's a Girl Scout leader, but it's gluten-free.
It's a gluten-free version of the Thin Mint cookies. So this company, Goody Girl in Tribeca, is taking cookies that we know from our childhood and from the Girl Scouts and making her own version of them for people who want to eat them but need gluten-free.
Oh, they are fantastic.
They really are.
They are really good. I wonder what her secret ingredient is.
I think a lot of chocolate.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So we've got that. And then this is just a sampling. There's a million things on that side.
We have about 500 different products from about 100 companies, all of whom are very young companies, very small startup companies.
And it's artisanal. Now, you brought a salmon jerky.
Brought a salmon jerky here from, it's from a brand called Ruby Bay. It's made in Brooklyn, in Greenpoint, at the last remaining East Coast fish smokehouse, Acme Fish Company.
And that he's telling you, Craig is giving you one of the best kept secrets in the area, because if you go to any of the appetizing stores, the best, they go to Acme to do it. So you are now shopping where the elite shop. I'm going to smell this, but save it. But
it's great. It's like beef jerky, but it's made with salmon.
So it's good for you.
It's got a lot of omega 3, a lot of protein. Mm. But it's, you know, it's we joke it's like a bagel and lox you can throw in your pocketbook
right.
and carry around,
which people love, and that's a great gift. And then you brought a very unusual chocolate bar.
Yes, I did.
Size of a house.
It's a huge chocolate bar. It's beautiful with some artwork
like
on the back.
It looks like an antique card.
It's an antique style, but the company itself is about a year old. It's called Cacao Prieto.
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating story. The company was founded by a former aerospace engineer who worked on things like bulletproof vests and satellite guidance systems for the military, sold his company, and like me, decided to go into a different field.
Unbelievable.
And so he went into chocolate. So he makes this chocolate in Red Hook. His grandfather's cacao plantation in the Dominican Republic is where the beans come from.
You're kidding.
So it's all kept in the family. He buys his beans from his own family, brings them in, roasts them, and cooks them in Red Hook in Brooklyn, and is using his engineering expertise to create chocolate making machines that are fantastic.
And it looks like an antique. For example, now would you give that just by itself?
You could give
or
this is
give
a large chocolate bar. Yeah.
And what is that retail for?
I'm not exactly sure. I hate to say that, but
all right,
have
but
to check
well,
the website.
And then let's go on and just so we have the array.
Sure. So we have there's all sorts of things. We have from Salty Road, also in New York City, an eggnog flavored saltwater taffy, which is hand stretched and is absolutely fantastic. We have, I brought you another jerky, this time beef jerky.
Yeah, grass-fed, very
grass-fed
good.
Grass-fed beef. It's, the company is Kings County Jerky, so as you can imagine, made in Brooklyn.
Right.
What's interesting about these guys is that they like to use Asian flavors in their beef jerky. So this is a Japanese-flavored one. They have a Korean-flavored
fantastic.
One.
Fantastic.
And then a traditional Southwest.
So they're great gifts or stocking fillers. And what is in that bag?
This is a special holiday cookie that we have made exclusively for us.
Who is that?
It's a company called Lomaxine.
Uh-huh.
She's also about a year old. She started doing corporate cookie making last year over the holidays.
And you found her?
And we found her in Brooklyn. This is a chocolate cookie with some chocolate frosting and crushed candy canes on top.
Oh, my gosh. Look at this cookie.
A peppermint chocolate
it's
sable.
Beautiful. And this is a very attractive cookie. And then you brought a little, what is that?
Well, we have a couple things. This is strawberry rhubarb jam made up at Blue Hill Farms at the Stone Barn Center up in just north of New York City. So affiliated with the restaurant there. And they make a few products. And this is a fantastic
yeah,
jelly.
Everything comes out of that kitchen is fantastic.
And it's all
everything
grown right
fantastic.
There on the grounds of the company as
and
well.
And that is?
And this is a new company also in Brooklyn called Spoonable, which is a caramel sauce.
Oh, this is too good.
But this one is infused with lavender flowers.
Oh.
So it's a very fragrant one. She makes one with sesame seeds. She makes one with black pepper and orange.
So these are... Everyone loves food gifts, and this is all year long, not just for food gifts, but for the wonderful sampling of the best in our own backyard. And Greg Kennerick is the genius behind this. How do people find you?
It's very easy. You just go online to newyorkmouth.com.
Newyorkmouth.com. You have a whole list. Prices are not scary. They're very fair.
No, we have things that range from $2 or $3 all the way up to some pre-bundled gifts. So we have a lot of holiday gift selections currently.
Yeah.
So you can buy a $100 bag. You can buy a $50 bag
and
of goodies.
And have it all there as it takes.
And we give it to UPS, and it shows up in a couple of days. So it's very convenient for the shopper. We also sell gift certificates. If you don't want to do the work, you want to just let somebody else
That's
shop,
fantastic.
You can do that as well.
I think it's a lovely idea. Thank you, Craig. We're all foodies, and we love that. All the best to you. It shows you people follow their passions and their dreams. And if you've got that and the energy, it will work. I'm Joan Hamburg. We'll be back right after this.
At the table.
Put a lot of butter in the pan. You want a very firm apple. You want a tart apple.
At the table with Joan and Fairway.
And, of course, I love being at the table with Fairway and Mitchell London, Dan Glickberg from the Fairway family. And I'm thrilled to see the both of you here today. Hard to believe when you look up, but it's Hanukkah, the beginning of the holiday season has been upon us for a while. But Hanukkah is Saturday night. And do you gentlemen celebrate?
Do I celebrate Hanukkah?
Hanukkah.
Do I celebrate? I eat latkes.
Well, I would eat like.
Well, you know, I eat matzo meal a lot because not potato.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's not like potato pancakes. My mom used to make matzo meal pancakes.
Yeah, I prefer
you like
them
better than potato.
Because they remind me of my mother used to make them that way.
We used to serve them, or she did, with jelly.
Yes,
that
jelly.
Was her big thing.
Powdered sugar and jelly.
Yeah, well, people love that. I haven't thought of making those. I don't know. Do you? I never thought of that.
No.
In years.
No, probably not.
Easy, too. It's water, eggs, matzo meal, salt, pepper.
And
my generation doesn't really use matzo meal.
That's ridiculous.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that true? Would you agree?
But you know what? I keep it in my house because I make a lot of stock. And if I make a really good chicken soup and make matzo balls, not my favorite, but
matzo
my kids
balls
love
or
it,
something
I
else.
Keep matzo meal in the house. That matzo meal is very good.
You know, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I had a craving the other day for fried matzo.
Oh, my God!
I had to have it. I didn't get it. I was
so
on my mind.
Funny.
With maple syrup?
Lots of cracked pepper, a little bit of sea salt, syrup, a little bit of jelly. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, my gosh. So explain to the audience how you would fry matzo. And you don't have to be Jewish to eat matzo. Matzo is in all the stores all the time.
How do we get to talk about matzo?
I don't know, but how do you fry it?
Because you said your matzo meal, potato pancakes.
Right, there you go. So anyway, you break matzo up in a bowl. You pour boiling water over it. You let it soak.
Like matzo brine.
Yes. Well, matzo brine. Same thing, right? There you
go.
And then you
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, but you're right. This generation doesn't go for... They don't even know.
And look at the shape of the world. Look at the shape of the world. Okay,
it's round.
Economically,
right?
Politically,
you're not talking about the literal shape.
No.
Well, it really is interesting that what the kind of things that they eat. I mean, even my kids are really into healthy eating.
Where we try, Joan.
I know
we try,
but you guys. Like, well, meat was a huge part of most of our diets growing up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we would, I don't know about your home.
Meat is still a big part of my diet.
Well, protein is really good.
You have to have a protein. But you know what? A lot of people are using chicken now, not only because it's healthier, but it's a lot more cost effective. It's really difficult to find prime meat right now. So the market has just gone through the roof. It's more expensive to raise the cattle just in general. So obviously, you know, the longer you keep them for and the more you feed them, the more costly it's going
to be. But if it's hard to find, it means it must be demand, right? So...
Yeah, well, you know what?
Go to a steakhouse. They're always packed. The bar is always four deep.
Yeah, but also, Joan, you know, you have to understand that when you're talking about prime, there's two kind of different grades of prime, and there's a high-end prime and a low-end prime.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So how do you know what you're getting?
Well, you look at the marbling. You look at the marbling.
You do, but most humans don't even think.
Most people don't. But if you actually really take a look at the marbling, you'll see that some of that low-end prime really almost looks like choice. You know, it's almost the same thing. You know, and some steakhouses are substituting that in just because they can't find the stuff that's marbled really, really well.
Joe Adamanelli told me 25 years ago, you can get to the point where there's no more prime, real prime.
Right.
Yeah.
We may be there. Who knows?
But, you know, I bought a flank steak. I was going to do a stir fry.
Mm-hmm.
And it was expensive. I couldn't believe it. Flank steak was never like that. But it cost.
She must have not bought it at Fairway, Mitchell.
Big mistake, Jim. Big mistake.
Okay. So I bought this flank steak. I marinated it for 2 days. I put it in the freezer for an hour so I could slice it paper thin. I stir-fried with all kinds of vegetables I bought from the Green Thumb and Organic Farm before it closed.
You're killing me.
I had to throw it away.
That's okay. That's out of the hamper.
I threw it away. No one would eat it. You couldn't even chew that meat. And I'm not even going to tell you what I paid for it.
Yeah, well, flank steak can be tough.
It was horrible, even after 2 days marinating in the garbage. What a waste, right?
Yeah.
I was going to put it in the Cuisinart and make a hash out of it, and everyone said, don't bother, we're not eating it.
You have, you know, the meat is an iffy. A friend of mine was in, asked me where they'd go for steak, what steakhouse. I said, you know, I named a few, but I said it's, you know, hit or miss. I've had great, I've had average.
Ordinary, right. Where do you go if you want a steak beside Fairway Cafe?
I don't.
Mitchell,
I really don't.
Mitchell, well,
I really don't
very
either.
Good meat.
You know, Joan, it's really funny. Since I'm a little kid, I really don't eat steak out. Just because we have it at the store, that's what I'm used to. I can go and pick out my own, you know, my own piece. So
let me say, I've had great steaks at the Fairway Steakhouse. I've had so-so steaks at the Fairway Steakhouse.
Right.
Exactly.
No, look, what I get from downstairs, I've had great, I've had steaks as good as they come, and I've had average steaks sometimes. It's a very
dicey proposition.
Iffy.
Unless you buy a tenderloin, which is what I learned from you guys,
yes.
Even though if you don't make it right, it's boring.
Yeah.
But it's almost always tender. Well, let's take a quick break because we're not going to give you a meat recipe, but we're going to give you Fairway's special potato pancake recipe in celebration for Hanukkah.
Yep.
The Festival of Lights, which is starting Saturday.
Yes.
All right, everyone. We'll talk about that and more right after this. We're at the table with Fairway.
Fairway's recipe of the week.
All right. Well, we love dealing with Fairway. We love being at the table with Fairway. And certainly, I am receptive to the potato pancake recipe. So anyone can make this, right, Mitchell Daney?
I hope so.
You just take four good Idaho potatoes. You peel them. And you shred them by hand. I don't like when I do it in a Cuisinart.
You get a different,
like
you get a different result.
It gets too
right?
watery
yes.
or something.
Much different texture.
So you shred them and you cut your hand a little. It's part of the deal. And then you add eggs.
Yes.
Okay.
An onion.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mitchell likes to add matzo meal. Danny, matzo meal is not a staple in Dan Glickberg's cupboard.
Some people add, I think your favorite, they add potato starch.
Yeah, or you can even add a dab of flour, whatever,
yes.
right?
Go ahead. Keep going.
Little salt, little pepper.
Yep, yep.
And then on the side, some people like sour cream, my husband.
Yep, yep, yep.
But he likes sour cream and applesauce.
Yeah, me too, because you got that sweet, salty thing going
both
on.
Both together. So it's very easy, right? You put everything except for the sour cream and applesauce in a bowl.
Yep.
And then you heat the vegetable oil.
Yeah.
And you take a tablespoon.
And you fry away.
But let me ask you, because when people do this for dinner, they're always complaining that they're at the stove constantly. Can you make them ahead of time, put them on a cookie sheet?
Yeah, make them ahead. Make them ahead.
Is that just as good?
Yeah.
Is it just as good?
It's not just as good, but it'll be fine.
I actually love potato pancakes.
Yeah.
I think
what's not to like, Joan?
Yeah.
Potatoes
delicious.
And fried.
And you need a good amount of oil.
Yeah.
This is not the time to be shying.
Right, but no olive oil, canola oil or whatever.
No. Yeah.
A vegetable oil.
Yes.
All right, well, that sounds great. But that wouldn't be a dinner. Now, what would you serve for Hanukkah?
Well, you know, if you put some smoked salmon on top of that with some more sour cream or creme fraiche, that could be dinner.
Yeah, funny, I was just reading about a potato pancake in a New York Times deal, and they were saying, oh, with smoked salmon on top, it's delicious.
I was going to say paddlefish roe,
yeah.
Yeah, I just like them plain, crispy on the outside.
Well, and you know what, Joan? You can always serve a brisket, right?
Yeah.
You can always serve a brisket as the main course
brisket's good.
nice holiday dinner.
Everyone's serving chicken
or
whatever. You know, but it's a lovely holiday, and it is here early, and we'll talk a little bit about Hanukkah, too.
Yeah, you know, Joan, it's funny. It seems like the Jewish holidays are never on time, right? They're always early or they're always
very
late.
Very late. It's true.
What's that about, Mitchell?
What is it, Henny Youngman? You know who Henny Youngman is?
No.
No. He was one of the great comics.
When?
He was a great comic in the 60s and 70s. But in those days...
How am I supposed to know that?
Excuse me. Born. I was not alive when William Shakespeare wrote Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, but you know what, Mitchell? That's a little different.
I don't see why it's different at all.
Different, though. Because, you know, first of all, the comics today are the antithesis of the comics that we grew up with.
Like Tracy Morgan, my favorite.
Well,
he's hilarious.
He is very funny. I like him. But we didn't know from that. You know, Minnie, when I was a kid, writing New York on $5 a day, the Carnegie Deli, the back room, the comics like Henny Youngman and all those guys would go try out their material on each other. They would all go to the back room. If not the Friars Club, but the Carnegie Deli was famous for that. By the way, did you see, speaking of passings in New York, the Stage Deli is gone, shuttered up?
Yeah, I was not a fan of the Stage.
Yeah, but you know, there was enough tourists in that area.
Yes, that's packed. So I mean, what happened there?
I don't know. I think something happened with the rent where
it really became
out of control.
That will do it, Jim.
See, the Carnegie Deli owns its own building.
Yeah.
And that is a big
plus. That's how you got to do it if you can.
Now, Danny, before we run out of time, you are opening any moment, a big fairway.
I can barely wait.
Yeah, we are. In the next 2 to 3 weeks, we hope.
Every kid in America wants to come to New York and live in that area.
Yeah,
in
no,
the
30th,
30s.
Yeah, 30th and 2nd. We're very excited
area?
About
is that
it.
A hot area?
It is Yuppie Dormville. That's where all the kids are now. I lived there when I was a kid on 37th and Lex, but it wasn't like that. Now, when you say to kids coming to New York, it used to be the Upper East Side. Where do you want to live? Want to live in the 30s, from like 37th Street to 30th Street, Lex, 3rd, 2nd, 1st, it's all young. All right, guys, we'll have to do this again next week. We've been at the table for Fairway.
Thank you, Joan.
Thank you. And potato pancakes are going to be on our website. I promise you, you don't have to be Jewish. If you've never had a potato pancake homemade, you're in for a huge treat. I'm Joan Hibbert. Stay tuned.
This has been a podcast from WOR.